Good morning. Thank you, Miss Rachel, for the introduction there. Appreciate each one that's come to worship with us. Want you to grab a songbook and a good G chord and your best vocal chord up front. And so we'll start with number 58 in the blue book. Welcome, visitors, and we hope you get a blessing from being with us today. Number 58 in the blue book. Very good. All right, turn over a few pages to number 63. Number 63.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. Good to see everybody today. Hope you've had a good week. Some ways it's been a rough week, hasn't it? Been hot. For us, some of my family members were in a very severe auto accident the other day. And it just, all of them survived, don't get me wrong about this, but it lets us know how fragile our life is. Actually, we kind of figured it up afterwards. Paul and I probably went through the intersection just before them, is probably what we did. But we realized just how fragile our lives are, aren't they? You may not go home today, is what I always want you to keep in mind. It is good to see everybody out today, and I hope everybody's had a good week, as I said, and not like my family members have. I hope that the Lord has blessed you greatly and that you will have a great day today. Today, there is something special this afternoon. Brother Sonny Knapp, one of our longtime members, passed away here a couple of weeks ago. And we are going to have a memorial service for him today. And that'll be here at 3 o'clock this afternoon. So we want the church to be advised of that. If you can come and help out with the memorial today, we would appreciate everybody showing up. His family is not a family that goes to church a lot. So I think it'd be good for our church to show the love that we had for him and for his family in this today. So everybody can try to come back this afternoon at 3 o'clock is what we want you to do. We're going to go on about our service today. We're going to invite the kids to come right over here today. All the kids, come right over here. Come on, kids. For everybody, my buddy Luke has a new baby brother, and I think they got home yesterday, so they're not here today, but I'm glad to have all of these kids up here today with me today. So good to see all of you. Is Luke coming? Oh, the other Luke's coming. Come on, Luke. You going to sit with Pa? Oh, you don't know if you want to sit with you or not. Okay. Y'all had a good day? I heard somebody was hiding earlier. I don't know why they do that. Okay. My lesson today starts out this way. See this feller here? Who's got a good guess as to who this is? Me. Do I look like that now? I thought I was a fine-looking feller then. That's what it looked like. The idea that I wanted to bring to your mind today, I don't look like that. Hey, do you remember when you did not look like you are now? You've grown a little bit. You've changed a little bit. You might have changed the way you do your hair. But you've changed, haven't you? And by changing, that's part of life, isn't it? You change all the time. Sometimes you grow up and you get prettier. I did not say me. These young ladies here, they're getting prettier all the time, aren't you? You young guys, y'all getting more handsome all the time. And the thing about it is, there's going to come a day, well, I look at Ben and I figure there's going to be a day he's going to be taller than his daddy. And maybe even Emmy's been growing so much the last few years, and she's going to be taller than her mama, right? That'll be all right too, won't it? Yeah. But the thing about it is, see, we're all changing. You see, when I first came to this church, all of y'all were like this, maybe a little bit more or something like that, but you're changing. We look out out here outside. In a few months, it's going to be cold weather. It's hard to imagine today we're going to have 100 degrees, they say. But in a few months, it'll be cold, and we'll be wrapped up in coats and such as that. I don't look forward to that. But it's always changing. The trees, they'll change colors, won't they? Some of them will grow red. Some of them will be yellow. Some of them will get a real pretty orange color. No, like UT. Hey, he's behind. But the idea is everything changes, but there's one thing that does not change. And the Bible tells us in Malachi 3 and 6, God does not change. You know, we change our minds a lot of times, don't we? You know, God can change his mind sometimes, but God always stay the same. He can get very happy when we do what he wants us to do, what he wants us to do. He can get very angry when we don't do like he wants us to. But God's always the same. The Bible says that he is a just God. In other words, he rewards us when we're good, but he also rewards us when we're not good. He's just. He's always right. He always does everything just exactly right is what he does. And when we come to him wanting mercy, you know, God's always merciful is what the Bible tells us. He always extends to us mercy, even though that we do not deserve the mercy. And what I mean by that, even though we've done bad, God will be good to us even just the same. You see, God never changes. And one of the best things is God always loves us. He loves us with everything that he has. And that's a lot more than any of us has. You know that? So God never changes. We change. I've changed a little bit, right? My hair's longer. As you can tell, my hair's not as dark as it was then. But the idea is God never changes. All right, I'll let you go. Good to see you. For the ones that did not see the picture, go in on Paula's Facebook page and you'll see it a little bit better. Oh, I got it upside down. It looks better upside down, to be honest with you. But you can go in on Paula's Facebook page, and she posted this picture the other day, and you can see it a little bit better. As I said, I have changed just a little bit. I think I was maybe 4 years old, about the age of some of these kids up here that day. How many of you remember what you looked like when you was 4 years old? Only by these things, right? So, it's good to see everybody here today. Hope everybody's had a good week. And let's go to the Lord in prayer. As I said, let's do remember the service today for Brother Sonny. Miss Linda and her family will be coming together for this. We need to be praying for them. Does anybody else have a prayer request this morning? It's good to see each and every one here today. I hope and pray that we can all be about God's business today in this service. And let's ask the Lord just to come in and bless us in a great, great way is what I hope we can all do. So let's all be about the Lord's business. And let's remember the prayer requests from Sunday school classes this morning. Let's keep these individuals in our prayers. Like I said, my family members were in a bad accident the other day. Please remember them. Three of them are still in the hospital and in very bad shape still. So do remember them in your prayers today. Anybody else have a prayer request before we go to the Lord in prayer? Lord, help. Let's do remember Brother James's friend who has been diagnosed with cancer. Somebody else? Continue to remember one another in prayer. Remember the ones that that are in our church that have sicknesses in some way or another. Let's do remember them in our prayers. Let's remember our shut-ins. Brother Slick and Miss Barbara not able to be with us, neither the Davenports. We need to keep them on our hearts and minds. And let's pray that the Lord will bless each and every one of them. I hope you'll pray for me today also. No other prayer request? Let's do remember Miss Mona. Yes, Miss Mona was mentioned again. She's still not up to par just yet. Somebody else? Yes, ma'am. Let's do remember this family in their loss also. Somebody else? Brother Gary, will you lead us in prayer, please?
Next order of business, we'll turn to number 91. Number 91. Help us in the alto, you singers that sing that part. Sounding good. All right, turn over a couple pages to number 113. 113.
Thank you.
we've been faithful to the Lord this week? Will we be faithful to the Lord this coming week? He'll be faithful to you.
Amen.
All right, for our last number that we have planned, thought about, was number 87. Number 87.
Everyone that come up. And I'll say this, do not wait for an invitation. If you can sing, come on up to the choir. We'd love to have you up there with us and singing along with everybody else. It's needful for us to lift up the name of the Lord. Good to see everyone today. Glad to have our visitors. I don't think I said that earlier. We are glad to have our visitors back. Glad to have our ones back from college today. Glad to see Sean back with us today. And we're just glad to see each and every one that's come out today for our service. As I said, we are glad to have our visitors. Make yourself right at home with us today. Does anybody have a word of testimony or anything on your heart before we go any further in the service? If not, turn to the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. If somebody has been keeping up with my preaching as of late, it seems like that's been a staple as of late, the book of Isaiah. I just let the Lord lead is what I try to do. But we have been coming out of Isaiah a lot in the last several weeks, but we only have one verse like we did last week for you, and we'll take our thought from this verse here in the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. We'll read verse 6, and it says, I, the Lord, have called thee in righteousness, and will hold thine hand, and will keep thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, for a light of the Gentiles. And that's with my mistakes in reading, and I made several in that reading. The sixth verse of the 42nd chapter of the book of Isaiah. Isaiah was a prophet of God, one of the major prophets, that came unto Jerusalem and Judea. Israel at this time, I believe, had already been taken captive. And I'm talking about the northern tribe of Israel. And they were already captive in Babylon. And now Judah was in danger because of their sin of also being taken captive. But Isaiah was, I'm going to use the word preaching to them, how that they should be trying to do for the Lord in his work and not be doing sinful acts and worshiping idols as was being done in the midst of them. Now, in this verse, you see, first of all, the phrase, I, the Lord, call thee in righteousness. When God called us, and I want us to take this down to us, whatever is written in the Old Testament, it was meant for either the children of Israel or for those people that it was written directly to. But there is a spiritual meaning also to these scriptures that goes to us that are saved. You see, we need to remember that the Lord called us in his righteousness. And when God called us in our sinful state, we were not deserving of his righteousness, but God in his righteousness, his desire to do everything right, he wanted us to come to him, and that was his desire. Now notice the next phrase, and will hold thine hand. I think that's one of the greatest things that you can think about is having God to hold your hand. I believe in myself, and we hear this statement made in a lot of cases. People will say, I don't see how people can go through all of these troubles and trials in their life unless the Lord is there with them. Anybody who has ever been saved has God holding their hand is what they're doing. Now, continuing on in this, and will keep thee. God will keep each and every one that is born into his family. He keeps them is what he does. Now, the rest of this, and he said, I will give thee for a covenant of the people. When you go back up and look at the prior verses of this chapter, you will see that they are prophetic in the fact that they are prophesying about Jesus coming into the world. And thus, he makes this statement here. He said, I have given thee for a covenant unto the people. Now, to get down to our thought is the last phrase, for a light of the Gentiles. We know that Jesus came into the world to save all those that are lost, don't we? We have that understanding today. All the sinners in the world, Jesus came into this world for the express purpose that everyone might be saved. But they must obey God in this way. They must believe God first and foremost that he sent his son into this world that he might die on a cruel cross that we might be saved, right? That's what he did. But this phrase here says that he was sent for a light of the Gentiles. Now, today, that's what Jesus came into the world. Before all of this had happened, before Jesus came into this world, we understand that the Jews were basically the main ones that were saved. I believe there was a lot of, we'll say, quote, Gentile people, that they were saved individuals. They had trusted in God from time to time. We find evidence of it in different places, how that people that were not of the people of Abraham had trusted God and worshiped God. We find that in the scriptures here. So for a light of the Gentiles today, I want us to take this personally today. This message will be somewhat of a message of encouragement for us that are saved today. in this way. We are a light unto the Gentiles. Now, wait a minute, preacher. Are we not Gentiles in the fact that we are not born of Abraham's seed, that we're not Jewish people by birth in that way? Yes, we are. But I want you to get what the term Gentile actually means. Unto the Jewish people, unto the people of Israel, anybody that was not of their race of people, being born of Abraham, they were considered to be heathens. I brought that out a lot lately, haven't I? They were considered to be heathens, and I guess by our terms, yeah, they probably were heathens. They were people that worshiped idols. They were people that did things that were cruel in many cases. They were people that were roaming from place to place in that they would not serve the true and living God, but they served their own desires. Is that not what we're dealing with today? Is basically what we would call a group of heathens today? I know when I was a child in school, some of our teachers called us kids, "You're a bunch of heathens," is what they said. You're not acting right. You're not doing right. You're causing fights maybe, and maybe you're wrestling when you shouldn't be wrestling. You're doing things that are not proper for a good young man to do, and young lady, I'll say that too. Can't leave out the ladies on this. But the idea was they were heathens in that day. Now, the idea that I want to bring to you today is that we are to be a light unto the world. I'm not going to use the word heathens that much today, but I want us to keep in mind that we are here for a purpose today. And the purpose today is not just to say that we are here to live our life as we want to. What I mean is having a nice home, going to school if you're in school, and making good grades and doing things like that. These things are all well and good, but the real purpose for all of us that are saved is to give a light unto those that are lost. If you'll go with me over into the book of Acts to the 26th chapter of Acts today, this is the testimony of Paul the Apostle. Paul tells about the light shining around him. He is telling it to Festus and Agrippa at this time, and he is telling them about his salvation. But he also, in the very last verse of the 18th verse, I should say, he starts to tell about his calling to preach. That's what he was doing. And he says that he is going to deliver thee from all the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee. But 18th verse tells the purpose that Paul had. Now, first of all, you might be saying, "I'm not Paul." You might be saying, "I'm not called to preach." What you might need to understand is God had this added into the scriptures that we might take it as an influence to us as to what we're supposed to be doing. In the 18th verse, he says, "To open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light." What was he talking about, from darkness up to light? Darkness is symbolic of sin itself. When a person is a sinner in the eyes of God, they're blind, or they're in darkness, is what they are. They're in that state in which that they cannot see what the real truth is. So they've got to be turned away from that darkness. And what he says, and from the power of Satan unto God. We all understand that if Satan had his way in us today, we would still be serving him. His idea is today that every sinner that's in this church house today would stay just exactly where they're at right now and not serve God. His hope and prayer is to steal your soul and bring it down into a devil's hell. So you've got to be turned away from sin. You've got to be turned away from the darkness and from the power of Satan. Satan has a power over all that are sinners, doesn't he? And what the scripture goes on to say, that we are need to be turned unto God. But listen, he is telling this unto these people, unto Paul today, and unto us, and he says that they may receive the forgiveness of sin and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Now, what he is telling them to do, he says, I'm calling you to preach the gospel. And as I said, you may be saying, I'm not called to preach. But every one of us that have been saved by the grace of God are to be that light unto the Gentiles. We are to be a light unto them and to show the world Jesus Christ. I say this from time to time. We may be the only Bible that many people will ever read. The only Bible. So it's important for us to keep in mind that we are to be a light unto them. How many times have any of you ever been caught in a situation? Maybe the electricity went out in your home and it was completely dark in that place. What did you want to do at that moment? You went and tried the light switch. It didn't work, did it? So the next thing you thought, I've got to find a flashlight. And you hoped that maybe somebody else in the house was paying attention and they had gotten to the flashlight before you did and before you stumped your toe on a table or something. That's what you generally do, am I not right? You generally are trying to get to a place where that you can find some light. You see, the sinners today are in that darkness that I was talking about. And we need to shed a light upon them. I remember hearing a story years ago about a man telling his testimony or telling a testimony about a day when he had stayed too long at a friend's house. And he had started walking home through the woods. And it was dark in that place. And it was so dark, he could see the shadows of the trees. And if you've ever done that in the middle of the night, they look really scary at those times, don't they? You see maybe a wind move and you hear something that just kind of makes you afraid in that time. And yet this young man, he said, I was getting afraid because I couldn't see where I was going. He said, I thought I couldn't make it home. But suddenly out in the distance, there was a light. He said, I knew there shouldn't be a light there. It wasn't a house in that place. And he said, I wondered what it was. And he said, I could tell it was a man walking toward him, is what he said. And he said, as he was looking and listening at that time, the man said he called out, or the man called out to him, said, Luther, Luther. He said, are you afraid? And he said, I recognize my father's voice. And he had the light in front of him, lighting the way to him. And he said, I was afraid, but now I'm not. When God is calling unto us as sinners, he is lighting the way. He uses us to light the way to them. In the book of 2 Corinthians, in the 4th chapter, and if you look at the 4th verse, you see the condition of those individuals that are in need of being, or of having a light shed toward them. He said in the 4th verse of the 4th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he said, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That God of this world is Satan himself. That's the power that he has upon this world today. He has blinded them to the power, to the fact of God being there for them. Or they hear people say, God loves you, and they think, well, there's not really a God, don't they? Where does that thought come from? From Satan. He blinds their eyes. He blinds their minds to it. When that Satan is working with sinners, with your friends, with your neighbors, whoever they may be, when Satan is dealing with them, he puts doubt in their minds. And he causes them to be blinded by those very thoughts that he has in them. He said, in whom the God of this world have blinded their minds, the minds of them that believe not. That is the key part. They believe not that God has sent us unto them. Sometimes, am I not wrong in saying this? Sometimes we don't believe God has sent us either, do we? Sometimes we get into our minds that really we're not that much help. We can't say the right things sometimes is the way we feel about it, don't we? But the scripture tells us in 1 John that God needs a light to go before him. See, in John the first chapter, the Bible tells us, and you look at verse 6, what it says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now, I believe John was a special man, don't get me wrong, but he was not God. He was a man. He was born just like you and I, a man born to a woman and a man. Yes, it was miraculous in the fact that they were old. He was called, born for a special purpose. But I want you to know something today. You were born for a purpose to shed a light unto the Gentiles that are out there. Those individuals that do not know the Lord. John was sent by God for this reason. He says in the 7th verse, the same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. Who is that light? If you're looking at your Bible, you'll notice that it's capitalized, referring to Jesus. And Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Now later on, we're going to get where it says, ye are the light of the world too. But Jesus is that true light that is out there in that is for the world. Now, what he said, he came to bear witness of the light. Could Jesus have come on the scene without John the Baptist? Truthfully, he could have. But the purpose of John was to make it easier for the people of Israel to believe. Why was it needful that it be made easier for them? Well, they'd gotten caught up in rituals. What I mean by rituals, they felt like all I got to do is keep the Passover, keep these feasts, I'll make my sacrifices just when I'm supposed to, and that's enough. That's nothing but works. That's nothing but trying to do the right thing at the right time all the time, in which that they always will fail at one time or another. So John came with a purpose, and what he did, according to Isaiah, and I preached on this a couple weeks ago, he said he was here to make the path straight for him, to make the mountains low and the valleys high is what he was supposed to do. And what he did, he came on the scene and he was preaching, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." That was nothing new. I want you to understand something. It wasn't new. That's what God had taught the people from time to throughout the scripture. But what we find was they had forgotten about repentance. They had forgotten it completely. It was all about the rituals, trying to live right. But what John came on the scene doing was being a witness. And that was his job, was to be a witness for the world. That's our job today, is to be a light for the Gentiles. I'll say it again, to the heathens that are out there that do not believe in God. So John was sent here for that purpose. He is our example that we are to make the path straight for our Lord. It is important for us to make that path straight for them. Have you ever thought of it that way? How in the world can I make it easier for God to save somebody? How can I? Do a lot of praying. Talk to them about Jesus. Singing about Jesus. Not listening to worldly music. Not talking worldly things. I know we've got to work. I know we deal with those things all, every day in our life. But when we have that moment, give the opportunity that God deserves to talk about Him. Now, I said a while ago we were going to talk about us being the light. In the fifth chapter of the book of Matthew is where you'll find this. And what Jesus said, and I'm going to start with verse 14. No, let's back up to verse 13. Let's get the idea of what he's talking about here. And you've heard these verses so many times before. Verse 13 says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Earlier today we was talking about country ham. Good stuff, isn't it? Country ham is preserved by salt. That's the purpose of it. It is used to preserve. It's used to give flavor. How many of you get a good tomato and you throw a little salt on it to give it a little extra flavor? I know the doctors don't want us to do that, but it makes it better, doesn't it? Sometimes we want just a little bit of seasoning in our potatoes or maybe in some other food that we have. That seasoning has a purpose in there. It gives it a flavor. Jesus says here, "Ye are the salt of the earth." In other words, we're the part that seasons all of the earth. Us as saved individuals, we're that salt that seasons it all together to make it have a true flavor. How you may be accustomed to eating a steak that has not been seasoned. And what I'm talking about is something like an old round steak that's come out of a cow that's about 12 years old and it's tough and chewy. I've got a hold of a few of them at places at times past. But you take a knife and you start to work your way through it and you finally saw it in two and you finally get off enough of a bite and you put it in your mouth and it just, ugh. Y'all had that? It doesn't taste good, does it? You see, without the light that we shine, The fact that we are salt, there's no seasoning to, there's no goodness, I'll put it that way, to this world. If you took every saved individual out of this world today, well, we call that when the Lord comes back, right? What's left? Bunch of evil. Nothing good. It's nothing that we really want to be around, is it? If you go into the prison over here in Murfreesboro and you're put into a cell with a group of men or a group of women and they're all what we would say evil individuals, how are you going to feel? You realize you could be that salty piece that could season every one of them? Jesus said, a little leaven leaveneth a whole lump. If we let the light shine the way it should, it'll light it all up, won't it? He said, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt hath lost its savor, in other words, its saltiness, he said, wherefore shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot. In other words, my friends today, if you are a saved individual and you're not allowing your seasoning of your salvation to show in this world, you have lost your saltiness. Can you get it back? Yes, you can. But Jesus goes on to say, and he changes it to another way. Neither, he said, ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. He said, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel. In other words, under a bucket, under a basket or something like that. He said, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. We are set here to be a light for the Gentiles. We are here to be a light for them. They're in darkness. I've seen it different times as far as in revival meetings. You know, it'd be like 8, 9 o'clock at night. The preacher would had gotten in somebody to walk back to the back of the church house. It's dark outside, and he'd say, brother, turn the lights out. And they'd hit the switches, and it'd just go black. Flip one light on, though, it lights the whole room, doesn't it? It might not be very bright, but it'll lighten up the whole room. You see, when we as God's people come together, and I'm going to use an illustration. I've never used this one before, I don't believe. I worked in a plant, and they had some sort of light bulb that whenever the electricity went off and it come back on, if it come right back on, they'd sit there and they'd just kind of buzz a little bit. Finally, one of them would start to have just a little bit of glow, and it'd start getting a little brighter and a little brighter. No, like I said, that one light coming on. But then there'd be another one that would buzz, and it'd start glowing. You see, when we as God's people come together and are serving Him and working together, it ends up being a bright place to work. And all the Gentiles, all the heathens get to see it. Now, here's the problem with a lot of times with lights. They used to talk about how that people would have the globes over the lanterns and such. and they get covered by dust and by the things that were on it, and it wouldn't be real bright. And they said you'd have to take it off and clean it so that the light would shine. So many times we as God's people, we allow the cares of this world to dim our light. So many times we allow the cares of this world not to show our light completely. But when some old good sister comes up to you and starts talking to you about the Lord, maybe there's something that kind of sparks right there, isn't it? Maybe you walk over and God's provided another brother that comes along. And he starts talking about, you know what I'm talking about as far as being in a church service. You've been in them, those kind of services where that somebody said, I just got to testify this morning. They make a talk. Next thing you know, somebody else is over here. Well, I ain't planning on saying anything, but I've got to tell them what God did for me. And then it goes back to the back of the house. And then it goes to this part. Then it comes over here. The next thing you know, the whole place is lit up with the joy of God. Ye are a light unto the Gentiles. To all these heathens out here, the sign says back here, and I didn't know this till today, Brother Sonny was instrumental in getting you are entering the mission field put over that door. I didn't know that today. But you know what? He let his light shine that way. We let our light shine in other ways. Just be the light. There's sinners out there that needs us. Like that old father was, Luther, Luther, are you scared? We may need just to say, are you afraid? Are you afraid? While we stand and sing today, I'll say to those that are sinners, I hope and pray that you'll come out of this darkness. You'll come in to the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. These altars are here for you to seek God. And that's true for us as saved individuals. Sometimes it's needful that we bow, that we pray, that we get rid of the dust that's on the globe and let that our lights might shine more abundantly. While we stand and sing.
232. 232.